Friends in Christ, we are called, we are charged by God to look different, or so says St. Paul. Again, St. Paul is preaching to the Christian church, the people gathered in Rome, and he says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world. So, we're looking ahead behind me here. We got a nice little picture to describe that, right? All of us we got those masks on. Just like you, I've seen them in every shape and size, and they all are worn differently, right? So what do we got here behind me? We got in the top left corner, we got the one called the escape hatch, where you got a little hole in it where you can drink a straw through it. I've seen some of those out there. Or how about the one in the top middle? We call that the earring. Pretty cool, hip guy. We got one hanging on their ear. Or this one's kind of clever, the one in purple called the sniffer, where just right underneath the nose where you can sniff a little bit. Or we've seen some with maybe the bottom with the turquoise called the stash, just like a pencil-thin mustache right there. Maybe you've seen some of those out there. Or the nose plug, just nose only. Or maybe you want to grow a beard and you got the neck beard, the one on the bottom right. Just like there's a whole variety of masks, there's a whole variety of people out there. We as Christians, especially this year, are called to look different, to act different, to be different, and that's a good thing. Yes, Christians should lead by example, to be the one in the middle, to do what's right, be appropriate. But what St. Paul is guiding us today that is just as relevant in 2020 as it was in 60 AD is that he's telling us that we as Christians are to be an example to not only other believers by our conduct and behavior and speech, but to the rest of the world. We've heard that phrase that we have to be in the world, but not of the world, right? Well, how does that look out for us today? Well, for Rome, they were pretty similar to America. They believed they could do whatever they want with their bodies. My body's my choice. We heard that in America. So they could run around with any boy or girl or animal that they wanted to, and it happened. They could worship anybody they wanted to, even when it was the wrong thing to do. They had different cults where they would sacrifice animals. They would sacrifice people to a foreign god. They believed in the same Greek gods that we hear about in our school day ages, Zeus and Jupiter. But today, we have the same thing going on, and the same message of Paul and our Lord is just as relevant. In today's day and age, we hear a lot of things that are plaguing our news, our minds, our families, and it's scary. We don't know what to think anymore and how even to act. We've been preaching about it. We've been hearing about it. So what can we do different? And how can we abide by what Paul is charging us to be? Well, first we have to understand, again, this last bit of part. He says that as we're being transformed by our mind, that we are to remember that we're one body. In just our little church here, we have people that vote Democrat, vote Republican, that are liberal, that are conservative, that are moderate. We have people that are white-collar business folk. We have people that are rural people that like to go out in the farms. We have people that are young. We have people that are old. We have people that work with their hands. We have people that work with their minds. And that's the beauty of it, that we're all put together in different places, different parts, and we're working to make one thing happen. We're called one body. And just like your bodies don't work too well when one thing seems to be going wrong, right? When you got those little aches and pains that seem to nag you, I had to take some maybe ibuprofen when I had a back pain. But when one thing doesn't work right, the whole body suffers. So it's important to remember that each and every one of you are vital and important, not just to the whole Christian church, but to this little church here at Bethlehem. And I'm talking to the oldest, to the youngest, even the infants that might be in our church. We all play a part, and we need each other as we try to figure out what to do with our lives. Again, Paul doesn't just tell us what to do. God doesn't just tell us what to do or be like without giving us an example. He says that though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, then service in our serving. And it goes on and on. So think of the talents, the spiritual gifts that God has placed on you already. I've seen some of you that maybe are well-versed and mature in your faith that you can lead others and maybe even speak up boldly for your faith and lead by example. I've seen some of you that are great servers and you lead our church and one another in serving. We have some of the fine individuals that prepare our coffee and donuts and snacks for us after worship that we can lean on. Though the one who teaches in his or her teaching. We're a little bit uncertain this year for folks with kids and our school system right now, right? Our teachers even don't even know exactly what it's going to look like. It could be we shut things down in another month. But you are a part of something greater than yourself as you live out your teaching. You fill that talent. The one who exhorts in your exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and finally, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Did you catch all that? The one thing that sticks out for me, as we are called to look different, is that I think the easiest way to show what it's like to be a Christian in this world is to be cheerful. Think about it. A grumpy Christian. It's kind of a what they call an oxymoron. Two opposite things that shouldn't be. A grumpy Christian, why would there be such a thing? Why would we want to walk around with a frown on our face? Yeah, we don't like what's going on. We don't like the cards dealt to us. But we, of all people, know that we have a greater purpose and identity in life. The Christian church and you as part of it, and I as part of it, are called to be cheerful this year. Give people some hope to believe that this is a pretty good year still. We still have a lot of things going on for us. We have the privilege of being together in person once more. We have the privilege of being families once more, to gather at dinner tables, to join in time, to have a little bit of quiet and some slower life, and to be cheerful. And that's exactly what God calls us to be and how we can lead by example. And this has been the time-tested process. If you read the Old Testament, all these old stories of the Bible, when Moses was leading the people through the desert, yes, they grumbled and complained, but as they went finally into the promised land, they were called to be different than all their other surrounding nations. That's why they had all these specific laws in Leviticus. As you and I are going out into Wales and going out in the summer vacations and going out to school, we have the privilege and opportunity to shed some light, shed some hope, shed some joy into this world. Because nobody else is going to do it unless we do. Just like you see that Bethlehem star, we're called to shine. How does your light shine with your friends and your family? maybe you're still a little grumpy. It's all right. This has been a tough year. But the thing of it is that's exactly what Jesus and his disciples were talking about as well. I want to share with you one more photo. Again, when Jesus is with his disciples, they were at a specific place. It says in the gospel according to Matthew that they went out into the region called Caesarea Philippi. It's a place that looks like this. The rocky cliff area on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, just north of modern-day Israel. And what's important is that this is where the exact place where St. Peter and Jesus were talking, where he had confessed for the first time that Jesus was the Christ, God in the flesh. And it's important because we call this place the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, to be exact. You see, prior to people of the Roman era living there, a lot of foreign cults and false religions gathered here because this cave went so deep into the earth, they believed this is the gateway to the underworld. And so in order to grow closer with their foreign gods, they would perform rituals and animal sacrifices and do all these weird, detestable acts. It would look sort of something like this, kind of those Roman little temples. They would sacrifice animals. They would have prostitution with people and with animals just to get closer to what they believed was their religion. This was what was going on up to this point, the gates of Hades. And this was exactly where Jesus and his disciples were standing in Caesarea Philippi. And this is exactly where Jesus changes the name of Simon to Peter. In Greek, it means Petros, literally rock. And upon this rock, the one who I will call rock, I will build my church, not a foreign temple, but the Christian church. And he says that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Not even this deep, dark pit. Not even the malicious and rude acts of this age will do anything to deter what I will do with my people. So it's up to you. Do you want to be like the rest of the world? Do you want to go willy-nilly, do whatever you want? Do you want to worship anybody you want? Do you want to treat people the way you want? Do you want to go and have sort of weird practices and worship whatever you want, have sexual relations with anybody you want, anything you want? Or do you want to be different? And what does Peter do? At this place, he says, you are the Christ, not anybody else. I won't be like the rest of the world and go into that dark pit. I won't go into the cave. I want to walk with you. And that's what we are called to do. Despite the temptations to be like the rest of the world, to go down into that rabbit hole and to being pessimistic, complainers, grumpy people, we have something better. We have the confession that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not only that, he gives us the keys to his kingdom. We have the keys to forgive one another. We have the keys to build up each other. That's why we are called to look a little bit different today. And that's a good thing. So it might feel like you're just dust one some of these days. We don't even feel like getting out of bed. You don't want to get out anywhere. But whenever you feel like those urges to be grumpy, to be like the world, remember to look up in the sky at night and see what's shining. That moon up above is just dust itself too. But what does it do? It reflects the light of the sun on the other side. And that's what you and I can do. We can reflect the goodness and love that God has, and He always has had, and bounce it back for somebody else. That's how we look different today and always. So remember that. You are different, and that's a good thing, and God is good all the time. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.